Amen. Amen. What a great time we've had already in the Lord. And I know it was a blessing just with the teachers to be able to see them up here. I want to really encourage those kindergarten teachers that if you need any help, just call me. I'll be there to help you in your class. I guarantee you that your class will never be the same afterwards. You'll have a wonderful time in that and stuff like that. So I will impart my knowledge. It would be a great time together. You know, it's amazing to me as I'm going to this and be in prayer for Jessica Lyman, and really encourage that prayer for that in terms of the feed, whatever. I know it's a thing there that I know that many people have gotten affected by. I know that Sue and I were at the doctor recently, and they were talking about just some things there with my health and my body or whatever, and the feet were really becoming a very important part of that. And I felt that there needed to be, they felt there might be some surgery that needs to be taking place, a part of my feet. And it was sort of the foot-in-the-mouth disease. But I needed to have the foot coming out of my mouth many times. So, anyway, let's just go to prayer. Father, we just thank you today, Lord God, that you are in control. And Father, we thank you today, Father, that you are the one that we want to be just admired in everything that we do, Father, Lord God. We are blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've already talked a little bit about Labor Day, the sort of beginning of the season here. And before we get started, I want to encourage those men, too, that before we get to part of the sermon, to really sign up for the Mug Breakfast this Saturday. This is sort of a time that we want to have all the men to be there. At the Gettysburg Hilton, we have a great time of one eating, but we also have a good time of fellowship. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that. There's a sign-up sheet in the back there, so I encourage you to be a part of that. When you come to the Mug Breakfast, we're not looking so much for you to pay for that breakfast. We encourage you to maybe contribute somewhat, but do not let that stop you from coming. And then the breakfast gets paid for, so don't worry about that. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. So back to where I was at. You know, it's interesting here that the time also to Labor Day is a time of political conventions. The Republicans have just finished theirs. The Democrats start theirs, I believe, today down in Charlotte. And it begins the political season. It begins the political season that happens in our country every 4 years, particularly in every 2 years when we have congressional elections, but every 4 years. So be prepared now for TV commercials, phone calls, and mail to help convince you to vote for, who to vote for. And I always say that voting is a privilege. Voting is a privilege. Now, those that are voting age, I encourage you to vote. No matter who you vote for, I mean, each person has their own particular person they would like to vote for, but I encourage you to vote. And I also say, if you don't vote, don't complain. Don't complain. So I encourage you to vote, to be a part of that. So I want to really look at the Word here and some things there, not so much about voting, but some other things. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. The verse in Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I want to emphasize every spiritual blessing in Christ. To really understand that. And one of the things we hear about many times are entitlements that we have that are out there. Entitlement programs that are out there. I really believe, in a sense, that we're not entitled to anything. We're not entitled to anything. That's just my personal feeling in terms of that. You might have a different opinion, but my personal feeling is we're not entitled to anything. I'm not entitled to the love of my wife. She gives it to me freely. But I'm not entitled to that. I'm not entitled to the love of my children because they give it to me freely. It's the same thing we have with Jesus Christ. He's given us every spiritual blessing. He's given it to us. We're not entitled to it so much as He's given it to us. It's up to us to take advantage of what God has given us. And many times we don't take advantage of those spiritual blessings that God has given us. Yes, we're entitled to this, we're entitled to that. We have a lot of bread outside, we're entitled to that. But you know, that bread was given to each one of us. It wasn't so much we came in this morning to church and said, you know what, I hope there's bread today because I'm entitled to it. It was there on the doorstep this morning when we were coming in for prayer. It is somebody who's giving it to us as a blessing. It's the spirit. Same thing with God. He gives us every spiritual blessing we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know all the spiritual blessings. I couldn't name them all. I might have to go to Radiant, wherever that college is, that talks about math and stuff like that. Deborah and I had a discussion about that at the elders meeting on Tuesday night about Radiant. And I said, that's a good place to sleep. Talking about all these math equations and stuff like that. But you know, every spiritual blessing, if we try to number them all, we cannot get to the point that we know them all. There's so many of them out there. But God calls us to take advantage of them. Take advantage of those spiritual blessings. Look at we need to understand too that it's by grace that we have been saved. It is by grace that we have been saved. We're not entitled to the grace, but it's been given to us that we are saved by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-10, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, God has a plan for each and every one of us. I totally support what Thurlow is doing in terms of the training in the Biblical Institute. There is a part of your equation, part of your being, that you need to be trained up in situations and educated. You might say, well, I know some of the stuff. You know what? We all need to be trained. We were praying this morning. The word that came upon me this morning was to train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many of you believe that you are old today? Okay, you're a child then. You need to be trained up. You need to be trained up as children today so that when you are old, you won't depart from it. Nobody raised their hand to say they were old. Everybody, you're all trained now. You're all children. You all need to become to be trained. And this is a part of the equation to come to the Biblical Institute to be trained up in God, to be trained up. Thurlow, with all of his knowledge, Linda's still training him how to make the bed. Okay, so let me take that back. Sue is still training me how to make the bed. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. It is our job to execute the plan that is within our heart. Each one of us has something within our heart, a passion within our heart that God wants to do. But many times we don't do that plan that's in our heart because we are then, what's the word I want to use? We are diverted because of situations that take place in our life. There's a heart part. When we talked about when Dan talked about the call of the teacher, there's a call in a teacher's heart to be able to teach children. To teach people, to be able to bring forth the knowledge. There's a call in their heart to do that. And I worry many times what other people think, and sometimes it stumps my growth in the Lord. I worry about it because I want to do something. I want to do something. I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way. And people say, you can't do it that way. But that's not my passion. My passion is maybe to do it this way. And sometimes I worry about so many what people might think about me that it stumps my growth in the Lord. You might have that same feeling. However, I need to be more concerned about what the Lord has placed in the heart and pursue that in order to fulfill my spiritual fulfillment. That got me thinking more and more about God. Got me really thinking about God and how great He is. The songs we sang today were just amazing. We sometimes get so busy in life that we don't sit back and reflect on the greatness of God. In the next few minutes, I want to reflect on the greatness of God. Turn with me to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Darrell brought it up a little bit this morning in our prayer time. Psalm 8. I heard the Sandy Patty sing this song as we were coming over this morning. So I figured that's what God wanted to say. It says, so as you're getting to it, I'll just read it. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens to the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know, we finished up the traditional closing of summer, and we head into the fall, and we just reflect a little bit about all of its activities. And I'm reminded sometimes of the busyness of the summer. How many of you felt you were busy this summer? A lot of things going on. But thankful to the Lord for the wonderful blessings that the Lord provided over us. Think about that. Many of us had wonderful vacations with our families. Different types of vacations. We had a wonderful vacation Bible school where children were touched and adults were touched by the love of God. All in all, as you look back, summer was pretty good for the majority of us. However, there were times when we went through the dog days of summer, of the heat and humidity. We're saying, okay, put that air conditioning up. No, it costs money. Tempers flared and situations arose when we could not control the circumstances. For many of us, it was a desert experience. It's a desert experience, dry with any type of nourishment in sight. You know, in my travels, I've been to the desert many times. And you look at the desert, it's very desolate there in Africa, where Thurlow has been many times and Thug in that area, a lot of desolate areas out there. And you think of that, and you think of sometimes when we're walking in the desert experience of our life, it's very desolate. We forget what God is doing in each one of our lives. Because when you look, spend time and look close in the desert, you see the beauty of the desert. That's reflected in the plants, sometimes the animals, the trees that are out there. If you look there, even in your own life, the desert experiences of your life, and you start thinking about what God has done in your life, and start reflecting upon that, all of a sudden the desert doesn't become so desolate. It becomes something that God is really imparting himself into. You know, this is what this psalm talks about. Reminds us of his presence in our lives. Let's look at the verses again. It says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. In this one verse, there are three components that I believe that we need to concentrate on. The first is our Lord. The psalmist is declaring to the Lord we're speaking about is our Lord. Is God the Lord of your life? Is God the Lord of your life? Can you say, our Lord, my Lord? Or has some other God intruded into your life? You know, I talked about the political season, and I'm a political junkie. I major in history and political science. I know a lot about politics. I know a lot about history, probably more than I want to know. But sometimes we make candidates to be gods. Sometimes we make candidate promises to be godly promises. They can't do anything wrong. We need to examine our lives and determine each day whether these gods, whether they're political candidates or other things, are supplanting our God. Who's in control of our life? Is it the little gods, or is it God himself? Is what we're doing by word of action or action demonstrating that God is our Lord? There's a song on the Christian radio today, and I don't know the actual name of the song, but I know the flavors of it. Do our words speak the Lord? Do our actions speak the Lord? Do everything we do speak of the Lord? Or does it come against what God is saying? Next, we got the name of the Lord. How majestic is your name? And he says in Isaiah 9:6, to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As you look at these names, what comes to your mind? It's easy to say them, but do we really believe in them? Do we really believe that God is the Mighty Counselor? For if we do, we would seek the Lord at all times. We sing the song, seek the Lord at all times, seek the Lord at all times. Do you seek the Lord or do you seek other things? Is God the person that you want to seek at all times in your life? However, many times that's the last place we go to counsel, where it should be the first. Second is Mighty God. We sing the song, if God is for us, who can be against us? Again, do we believe what we're singing? Mighty to means that God can do great things in our life. Why do we put God in a box when it comes to handling all our problems? Why can't God take care of everything? I mean, why can't He do that? You believe that? You believe God can do all things? Sometimes we just put Him in a box. Lord, you can't handle this situation. It's too far gone. You know what? I don't believe that. I believe God can change the hearts of people. God can change the minds of people. God can change everything about it. As the people are convicted in their hearts, think of what He did for your life. How you got changed. Think of what happened in your life, in your family's life, and different people you've come in contact with. Think of how God has ministered to you financially. Think of how God has ministered to you in different areas of your life. He is the Mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You know, there's a lot of false peace out there. There's a lot of, in the political conventions, you're going to hear a lot of campaign promises. I can do everything. I can do all these things. Only one person can do all things. And that's God Himself. That is God Himself. We've got to remember, everybody else is a sinner. It says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I, as a pastor, am a sinner. Dan, as a pastor, is a sinner. Thurlow, as a pastor, is a sinner. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. We're going to fall short of the glory of God. If I could speak louder and quicker, I could even fall even better, more short. We're going to fall short of the glory of God. There are many churches today that look at their pastors as gods. Praise God, you don't look at us that way. We're kind of silly if we aren't. But you know what? We need to look to God Himself. He is the kind of things. We need to set our glory. We need to drink in the glory of God. Do we spend time today worshiping and contemplating the glory of God? To really understand the glory of God. I've talked to you before about a good friend of mine who was my roommate in college who passed away back in December. And there's parts of me that's jealous of him right now because he's seen the glory of God. But you know what? God is saying to me, you know what? The glory of God is here. The glory of God is in the presence right now. As we come and see the faces of people, we see the glory of God being revealed. And God wants the glory of God to be reflected out from us to others. That's the glory that God is desiring in each one of our hearts. You know, one of the things I really enjoy in my house is getting on my patio. Sue knows where I'm going to. Sitting in my lounge chair, I've got it all. First I had to blow all the acorns off my patio. I had to get it all clean. Sitting in the lounge here, putting a fan on because I don't want the bugs getting me. So I put a fan on. It goes right next to me. I have a drink in my hand, and I get a book out there, and I start reading. And I just watch the leaves. And I just enjoy what's going on out there. And I'll just be out there for an hour or two. Just enjoy that. Enjoy the presence of God's creation. And to think about what God's done in each one of our lives. We need to know that the Lord, in the next verse, it talks about you set your glory in the heaven to the praise of children of infants. You have established a stronghold. We need to understand today the Lord has set His glory. We need to remember that whatever glory we might receive in this life is nothing compared to His glory. There are many people today that are given accolades and say, you've had this, you're promoted, you've done this. There's glory they've bestowed upon you, but nothing compared to His glory. His glory Himself. To the infants of children, and it was great to hear the children praying today. In verse 2, the psalmist puts in perspective the praise that the Lord desires that from a childlike faith and baby Christians. Remember, train up a child. We're all children today. In Acts, it talks about how the Lord used unschooled ordinary men to impart His life. And because of their childlike faith, they turned the world upside down. You've got to remember, these guys were fishermen. They were the saltiest of salt. Their language was probably not the best, as you Old Navy guys might reflect upon. Jeff back there is laughing from the submarine guys. But again, they told it like it was, but they had faith of what God had done in their life. They didn't analyze, they just believed. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets of Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Because of that childlike faith, strongholds are established against the enemy, and they're silenced. How many believe today that the strongholds that we think about in our country today, and even our county today, can be destroyed? How many believe that you, as a congregation here, unschooled in some respect, so you go to the Biblical Institute, can destroy the strongholds by the name of Jesus Christ. His name. You know, it talks about all the things that are going on, what God has done in terms of putting creation under us. It humbles me that God has placed you and me as His children over all creation. We are humbled by that. God has placed everything there. Verse 9, finishing up, it says that, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. It's a constant reminder of who the Lord is. The beginning, talked about it. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how Lord. The ending, talks about it. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. In Ephesians 2:3-21, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power. Catch that, according to His power. That is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. As the worship team would come up, I'd like to have the worship team come up, because one of the things, and if you'd all stand, one of the things that got on my heart as we were, during worship time, God put this on my heart to do, because I really believe that God has something there that God wants to do in each person's life. The things that strikes me a little bit about in terms of Acts, in terms of the name of Jesus Christ, when we spoke about the name of Jesus Christ all throughout the service, the name above all names, by His name, everything. In Acts, it says that Peter confronted a lame man who was looking for money. He wanted money. He wanted money. He wanted money. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I do not have. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." I believe today God wants to have His healing taking place in people's lives. Physical healing by the name of Jesus. It's by His stripes. It's by His name that we are healed today. Oh Lord, how magnificent is Your name in all the earth. God wants to heal people today. You know, we have great doctors, we have great nurses, we have great medicine that is out there, and God has blessed us with many different components to be able to heal people. But there are some things in our life that God wants us to do a miracle. He wants to do a miracle, and many times that it is stepping out in faith to be able to do that. It's by His faith. So we sing this song. I'd like to encourage those who want to get healed and to have pray for healing to come up and to come and believe by faith that God can heal you today. You know, I'm believing by faith. I went to my eye doctor this past week. I've got 20/20 vision in my right eye. I've got 22,000 in my left. Unless God heals it, I'm not going to be able to see that much more. I mean, I can't see what those things say in the back. I can see it from my right eye, but if your left eye, I have no idea who's back there. But God's going to heal it. I believe that. I believe that we, by faith, that God, we're going to see some healings taking place in our congregation. That's going to be, basically, we don't have to worry about the walls being broken out because they're going to be broken out by themselves. The walls will come tumbling down, and I believe that God wants to heal today. So as we sing this next song, I encourage you to come up, have the elders come up, and to be able to pray for those that need healing today. It's by faith today that God's going to heal. It's by His name. Not by anything we're doing. It's only by the name of Jesus Christ that can do that today.